Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It was Friday. I went into a hardware store. And a hardware store is a place where you can buy almost anything apart from fairy cakes. But, you know, you can buy paint, you can buy cake tins, you can buy tools, you can buy nails, you can buy hammers. And I can't really even remember what I went in for. But I saw, as I was going to pay for whatever I'd bought, I saw on this display kind of area loads of packets of seed. And seed for kind of, now's the time to plant. If you want lettuces, you get your lettuce seed in the ground. If you want rocket, which I love rocket, you put that in the ground and it's going to grow. And so I'm looking at all these photos of what it says on the packet that the seed is going to do. And these photos are not actually taken of seed. Otherwise, none of us would recognize whether it was a lettuce or a radish. We'd be all like, we don't know what it is, but I'm sure it'll be good to eat. But I realized that the pictures brought about an expectation of something that was going to come. And my dad used to go to the back of the garden, probably when we were giving him hassle in the home, and he would go out with his fork and begin to dig the ground and get the soil ready to plant seed. And it's a good time for planting. It's a good time this season for planting seed. Because he had a vision to produce something. He had a plan to produce. And I think sometimes there is a crazy mentality in the church where we think we don't have to plan. But we're very unwise if we don't. God isn't going to do what he promises to do without you cooperating and planning to implement what's needed for the future. And when he went out to dig, he put the seed in the ground. And after he put the seed in the ground, he put little sticks out of the ground and he stuck the packet on the stick. So whenever he walked past the allotment area, the plot of land, he could see the photos of what was coming up. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but if you're a gardener, that's probably something you do. I personally don't. I can look at all the photos and dream. It's called wishful thinking. I can say, oh, I'd really love rocket this summer with my salads. I'd like this kind of lettuce. But it stays a dream if it stays in the hardware store or on our shelves. And the picture might create excitement. But until that seed is planted, you will not be able to get a harvest. It would be ridiculous for me to say, I really want a harvest this year of all these things without having put something in the ground. And in Mark chapter 4, if you turn there, Mark 4, 26. Jesus taught what he considered to be the parable through which we understand all parables about the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we need this teaching that Jesus brought. If you and I are going to be able to see the fruit of the promises of God in our lives. And in Mark 4:26, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven works like nature works. As you and I understand nature, that seeds, when planted, have power to produce whatever the description of that seed is, whether it's a potato, whether it's an acorn can produce an oak tree, whatever the seed is, it produces itself. Inherent in the seed is everything that is needed to produce that plant. When it is put into the soil and the seed work together to produce a harvest. And of course, moisture is needed too. And so Jesus says the kingdom of heaven does not work without seed. And he's very clear about what seed is. Seed is the word of God. So he doesn't leave us wondering what he means. He said the farmer goes out to sow the seed. If you look back at the beginning of Mark 4, he said the seed is the word of God. And so we might be believers, we might have Christ in us, but if we are going to produce a harvest of the promises of God, seed has to be planted and sown into our hearts. Jesus said, the soil is your heart. And there are many different conditions of soil. But a good heart will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that's the kind of harvest I'm looking for. Is anybody looking for a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold? That's what we are here to see happen. Thank you, Jesus. The Word of God, the Bible, is packed with seed. In your Bible, you can read promises. And you could say it's a huge book or packet of seed. And this seed is powerful. It's living. It's able to work in your life. But it doesn't make any kind of difference at all until it is planted. Until you receive the promise in your own heart. So it's not that I can believe for you, you see. I can have seed that I'm believing for, but God wants you as a believer to plant the seed of his word in your heart so that your future outcome becomes what God has promised. Just like the photos on my dad's allotment. How we can walk around our day saying, well, I can see that that's coming up. Even when we can't even see any evidence. I can see that in that part of the ground, there is radishes, there's potatoes, there's beans, there's whatever. It's going to produce what has been sown in there. Now, I love what Jesus says in verse 28. He says, all by itself, the soil produces. Don't you just love that? It kind of says that we have a part, but once we've done our bit, the seed all by itself produces. So my dad's part is to prepare the soil and sow the seed. But once it's in, the seed does the work. All by itself. So if you know what that means, it means you don't get involved at that point because God's word actually grows. And Jesus says it's a process with nature. It starts with a little kind of green shoot and it starts to begin to grow until you get the full harvest of what was planted. Now, I would say to you, everything that God has ever done in any generation started with the seed of his word. Because God doesn't do anything without seed, without his promise, without his word. Jesus is the word of God. And he's the grain of wheat that fell into the ground and produced us. Jesus is the seed. And his word is seed. Any vision, anything that God is going to do, he starts with speaking his word into your heart. In fact, you could not be saved without having heard the promise of salvation through Jesus. You couldn't get saved by an angel. An angel can't save you. In fact, I can't save you. Only hearing the word of truth and believing it can you be saved. That's why it's so important that people hear the gospel. They have no ability to be saved without hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. And if the world don't hear, they cannot be saved. So what do people need to hear? They need to hear the good news through your mouth. Because that is seed being sown. That if it's planted, if the conditions are right, they will believe and become born again. Now, it's wishful thinking then that if I have no word in my heart, I will not produce what God promises in his word. It might be in his word, but if it isn't in me, it will not produce. Is that okay? I mean, this is not rocket science, but it is something that many Christians are deceived about because they're trying to get God to do something when God is saying it's time to plant seed into your heart. It's time to put my promise on the inside of you. Because if you do that, all by itself, I will accomplish what you can't. Thank you, Jesus. This is a supernatural power of the life of God. You see, it's wishful thinking that I go to my little plot of land outside my house and say, oh, thank you, Father. Carrots come. Beans come. Lettuces, radishes, come. I call you. I call you into being. Come. I mean, that's weird. Plain stupid spiritually. But once it's planted, I could say, let it grow. Let it come forth. Let the earth produce. Let my heart produce. Come, Holy Spirit, water the seed, the promise in my heart. And so wishful thinking is not really going to accomplish anything. You could be wishing for certain things in your life. But the question is, have you got a promise? And is that promise taken from the word and put into your own heart? Do you have a promise for your children? Do you have a promise for your future? We know that all the promises of God written are yes and amen in Christ. But I know that if God says that the kingdom of heaven only works where seed is planted, I know that I won't see the promises unless I plant. But if I do, I can be certain of my future. I can have a certain hope because it's based on what I know has been planted. My dad, once he'd planted, would come in and go, excellent. It's going to be a great summer because we're going to have loads of veggies. Why? It wasn't wishful thinking. He'd actually done the work to put it in. And do you know what? And I know it's not you, but some Christians are really lazy. It's not anybody in this room. It couldn't possibly be. Because we're a great church. But some Christians are so lazy, they never ever spend time sowing the word. And they expect to reap, but there is nothing put in. And unless it's put in, it won't grow and produce. See, I believe that healing comes through receiving the promise that by his stripes I am healed. It doesn't come because I read it, but it comes because I accept it into my heart and say, Lord, I'm going to sow, and I sow by speaking that word over my own spirit. That's how I sow the word. I speak, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And so I'm sowing something that isn't yet manifest. How many of you know that we live by faith in things not yet manifest? It hasn't yet been revealed what we are going to see. There's a lot about your life, I'm trusting, that if you've sown a promise, we have yet to see a manifestation of what God has spoken. But you see, we have this need to co-work with the Lord. And to not come, and I heard this yesterday, not come into a prayer line and pray that somebody else will do it. I can definitely come and eat at your house and enjoy what you produce in your garden. But it's nothing like having my own. Yes, is this good? Okay, well, I'm trusting it is. Because my dad would come in hope-filled. And that's what I really want to major on today. Being a hope-filled Christian. What does it mean to be hope-filled? It means something different to the world. The world without God has no hope. Because God himself is our hope. One of the hopes we have as a Christian is that Jesus will come back. That is a hope that is based on a certainty. See, the Christian's hope is not based on emotions. It's not based on changing times, economies, earthquakes. It's based on an absolute certainty of God's promise. One of the hopes we have is that we too will be raised with Christ, be in eternity with him in heaven, and reign with him forever. And if you haven't got that hope, then you need to receive Jesus, because he will give you that hope and that future. Jesus is the only way to that eternal hope. But as Christians, we are to be full of hope. Hope based on certainty of what God will do in the future. Why are we certain? Because we've planted the seed of the word. We can be full of hope, not because we feel like things are going to be different, but because we have the promise sown in our hearts that they definitely will be different. Now look with me to Romans chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's one of my favorite verses, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope, I love that. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we read there that actually God is a God of hope. He is hopeful about the future. He is not depressed. He's not on a downer. He's not crying, he's laughing on the throne. The Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. You can only laugh if you hope for a good future. And he sees the end of the story. All things in Christ. He sees the future harvest, the end times, the manifestation of harvest coming in the nations, and then Jesus will return. Thank you, Jesus. And so he is called the God of hope. And I love that about his character and his nature. He is hopeful, even about you and me. He looks at you then with hope. He has faith and hope in operation when he looks at me. He said, I believe that she's going to have a good future. Okay, so he says, may the God of hope fill you. Now that means topped up, so there's no more room left. With joy and peace in believing. That you, and he's talking about you today. You, he wants you filled with hope. A certainty of a good outcome in every area of your life. May God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I love this because it's sandwiched by God filling us and the Holy Spirit empowering us. And so that means hope will come from God. I don't have to manufacture it with my emotions. Thank you, Jesus. But hope will come from God. All that he is, he wants to do in me. So he says, the God of hope fill you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this means God is hope-filled. He wants me and you to be hope-filled. And therefore, there should not be any area of your life where you are downcast. If I have a car that is full of petrol, that means there's no more room for empty. And if you are full of hope, then that means there's no more room for depression, despair, and negativity. And this is a supernatural result. Do you want results? I want results. I want my life to produce what Jesus says I can have. And he says, I can be hope-filled. Not because somebody's nice to me. Not because my circumstances immediately change. But because I believe what God says. You see, how do we believe the Lord? And it's simple. We can all believe. You've been created in the image of God. God is a believer. You've been made like him. He believes. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God is love. So God believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ah! And so he wants you and I totally filled with hope through believing. Now this word, believing, you've got to get it out of your head that you can't. In whatever challenge you are facing now, I challenge you to stop saying, I can't. We can't. It won't change. I can't change. Because if I look to what I can't do, I will not be filled with hope. And so, believing is simple because it's simply accepting what Jesus says in his word. Actually, in Romans 15, verse 4, it says that we might have hope through the scriptures and the encouragement of the written word. All we have to do is read the word and we can actually get hope. Thank you, Jesus. And we sow the seed, we plant the seed through speaking the word over our hearts. And as we sow the promise, we know what we're sowing. The word gives us a picture of what's going to be. What about this one? All your children will be taught by the Lord. And great will be the peace of your children. That's a promise. It's in the word. But if you sow it into your heart, you say, Lord, I accept and believe what you say, not what I'm seeing. I accept all my children will be taught by you. And great will be the peace of our children. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever I hear people say we can't have children, I know that they've lost hope and they're not believing. Because hope is always connected biblically to believing. As soon as the moment you believe, you will be filled with hope. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. Your part is to accept the word. Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. And so accepting what God says, despite how bad and how fruitless things look, is your part. But if you will do that part, then you will see a future harvest. Your future is based on what you believe today. This is so important that some of you are getting sleepy on me. Please don't get sleepy on this message, because God wants you filled with hope. See, we can play church, we can know all the doctrines, we can teach even, but we can still live with our lives in a mess. And when we're on our own, we can be crying, wailing, why me, why is it so bad? Where are you, God? But if the answer is here this morning in sowing promises, so that, and that you will actually see what God says come to pass. Some of you have had disappointments, but God says, my word never changes. If your faith was in people, then it's in the wrong place. If your faith is in the economy, it's in the wrong place. If your hope is for your job, then it's a very poor thing to trust. But God is provider. And he never fails to provide for believers. And so faith, believing a promise, must come before a job. Marriage, believing a promise, must come before a marriage. Or a transformation in your personal life, believing what God says happens first, and then the manifestation will come. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. Man, I like the overnight miracle. And some of you who've been around a lot longer than me, not that much, have been believing for things to change here a lot longer than I have. But God sees it's seed, time, harvest. There will be a harvest from what you're believing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But you see, we can quote scriptures without believing them. It's the biggest danger to a powerless Christian life. We can know the promises. We can even sit in a meeting here and hear and go, ooh, yes, a message on hope. It was really good. Again, Michael McIntyre springs to mind. A message on hope. That's what I needed to hear. But actually not apply the believing. Because God wants us filled with hope, with this inner expectation of an amazing outcome based on certainties, which is what Jesus says. You see, the more I believe the truth, the more hope I have. The more I believe what God says, the greater the hope in my life. But the less I believe, the more despair grows. Thank you, Jesus. See, the enemy works wherever there are negative circumstances or lies. And we've got to unseat the devil in our minds with bringing truth. Evict him by replacing it with the Word of God. Because only the Word is true. It's not even what you feel. It's not even the ideas you have. I wouldn't base my future on an idea at this current time. It's too dangerous to live with an idea. Live by the Word. Because the Word is going to be the solution for our future. Thank you, Jesus. Now, hopeless people, and Christians can get into this state, and I have to admit, there have been times in my life where I've felt hopeless. Where I've looked at my circumstances and felt, really, this isn't good. And I'm sure you have too. That you've been tempted to despair about a situation. But there are no hopeless situations. That's good news. Any situation you're facing, it's not hopeless. But God works to change the hopelessness in us first. Before he changes the situation. So hopeless people need first to be filled with hope. By believing the promise of God's word. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I tried that, but it didn't work for me. Well, you didn't. All I can say is the word never fails. You cannot, the word cannot fail. It's the word of God. It accomplishes everything it's been sent to do. And so God has never failed. So we have to look at the process in us. Am I really sowing the word and believing it? And is my heart totally devoted to producing what God says? Because a heart that is by the wayside wanting a harvest won't get it. But a heart that is center in God's will see the fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. So maybe we need to look at our own hearts and lives. Or we need to say, I haven't really sown a promise. Because I can change my future. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I think the greatest for me illustration of this is in Romans chapter 4, Abraham. I suppose I'm used to an Italian church who love the word and react to it. Last week there was a lot of, amen, amen. This week it's, I know you're receiving, but let's just respond to the Lord. Whenever you get a yes and amen, go amen. Because what you're saying over yourself is, so be it. You're agreeing with what you're hearing. This is a proactive meeting. It's not just about me. It's about us receiving the word. Now in Romans chapter 4, we read about Abraham here, and it's fantastic. Verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Now, just let me just start with this. God gave Abraham a promise that he would be the father of nations. And 25 years later, he actually had Isaac. And that means the seed and time, first the blade, then the ear, was a long time before full-blown harvest. But this scripture says to inherit the promise, It is entirely based on faith. Okay, so in order to inherit any promise, it is going to be entirely based on us believing the promise. If I'm expecting God to do something that I'm not believing for, Abraham didn't receive it that way. He received the promise through believing. Why? Because it needs to be entirely by grace. Grace comes to us as soon as we believe. Grace is God doing what we can't do. That's why all by itself the seed grows. And so grace is God's ability and favor to do what he has spoken and promised to do. I'm just going to ask for a sweet on the chair, please. So in verse 18 it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Now Abraham was totally hopeless naturally. My, that's a big sweet. There's a smaller one on my chair. Abraham was totally, if I spit, forgive me. No. He was hopeless, naturally. And in some situations, we can reach that point where we are hopeless about our future in an area. But God says that we can believe despite not having hope. And believing will produce hope in your life. Abraham, against all hope, in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Now, I can just see Abraham and Sarah, old, unable to have children naturally. And I believe this is a word for many people here today. That things you're not able to do naturally, God says, believing will do what you can't do. This is why this message is so important today. Believing will do what you cannot do. He looked at his own body and he went, hope is draining from me. And I can imagine him getting more and more miserable about his condition in the natural. And there were no signs and wonders working. Thank you. One or two thought that was funny. He looked at Sarah and it got even worse. He said, I'm not just drained by hope, I'm completely emptied. Everything about us isn't good. But in hope, he believed. What did he believe on? He believed entirely based on God's word. Because God's word will produce what it's been sent to do. Where you cannot do something, God can. How many of you are receiving this as a word for you this morning? Excellent. Because this is the word of hope. It's a message of hope for you today. If you can't, God can. And he promises to do it. In hope, he believed. So he saw that God was faithful and that he would do what he had promised he would do. See, you have to change first by believing and being filled with hope. You don't need, hear me in this, because I believe in prayer and I believe in speaking into people's lives. More than anything, you need God's promise planted in your heart. Because the word accomplishes God's work. If you have the word, you will have God's work. If you, like my dad, have planted seed, you can have a picture, a hope-filled expectation of what's coming. And we need to have photos on our allotments. You know, my heart is like a field. It's an allotment for God. And I can sow so many different things in my heart. For me, for the nation. I believe for this nation what I'm not yet seeing. We believe for this region what we're not yet seeing. We're believing for a just supernatural outpouring of the Spirit. For the gospel to go out an amazing fruit of souls. The harder it gets in the natural, the better it is for the seed to work. Because against all hope, we need to be believing. Believing for the region, believing for our families, believing for our schools, believing for the people we work with. Our faith must come alive and come up in this time. In God and His purposes for our lives. You are not a hopeless case. There is no hopeless case. Because the God of hope can fill you. Once you believe the word, hear God's word, and faith will come. And then you can believe what God says. Your money is not a problem. Your job isn't the problem. God wants to change you. So that you're so hope-filled. Because see, time, God, what in the time from speaking the word, receiving the promise to the fulfillment, He wants you so full of hope that everybody you talk to is like, you're going, it's amazing what's coming. My future is great. I can see nothing in the natural. They might look at you and say, it's looking bad. But God says, it's looking good. You and I know what's in the soil. And we know that it's going to come to pass. We can have kids where people say we can't. Children. We can have health when people say we can't. We can have provision where people say we can't. We can succeed in intelligence, in our brains, where people say we have a disorder. Everything is changeable. You can have a marriage that's blessed rather than struggling. Everything is possible for him who believes. And it's the believing condition that will change you and change the circumstances. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So if you have felt hopeless, God is saying, either keep believing, because sometimes it's a matter of continuing to stand on what God has said about your life and your future. But if you have a need of hope in any area of your life, you're not hope-filled, it's time to sow a promise. And the moment you believe it, you will be filled with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want you miserable. He doesn't want you in despair. He doesn't want you sad, downcast. He wants you filled with hope. Imagine your faith group if you were filled with hope in every area of your life. Not filled with stress. The leaders would rejoice. They would go, oh, happy day, happy day. Not, all right, yeah, I'm all right. How's your week? Well, not so good, really. It seems to just be getting worse out there. Everything's going down. Right. What's the issue? Believing. What are you believing? Are you believing what God says? Or are you going to believe the conditions around you? See, we should, in this generation, be able to minister with such hope to the lost that they look at the hope that is in us and they go, what? What are you on? You must be on something. This is so good. Why are you so positive? Because I have a hope. I know that my future's good. You know, I woke up 2 days ago, and this is a personal kind of hope for me, because I believe this. You see, protection for your life doesn't work until you believe it. It's not just a theory, it's something you need to believe. And I woke up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And I thought, oh no, Lord, not more fire. But anyway. You know, they were thrown in the fire for serving God. And I was praying, actually, Lord, raise up a generation that will not bow to any God but Jesus. That are so sold out that they are willing to give their lives to honor God. And there they were in the fire. They got thrown in. Some people got killed putting them in. So it was hot. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, we put three in. There's a fourth man. And that fourth man was the Son of God, looking like the Son of the gods. That's what it says in the Bible. But actually, we know it was Jesus. And they came out not singed. Their clothes weren't burnt. And not even smelling of smoke. Now, I love that. It's not even anything of the destruction going on affected them. I'm having that. I've sown that promise. I'm having it. It won't come near me. No harm will come near me. 1,000 may fall at my right hand. 10,000 at my right hand. But it will not come near me. I am shielded by the power of God. There's an invisible shield around me because I'm believing. If a car was to hit me, it wouldn't hurt me. I'd get out saying, ooh, no probs. And the devil would have to pay for a new car. See, what are we believing? If we believe the good promises of God. But if you haven't sown it and you only hear me say it and get excited, then it won't really be actively working in your life. And our future is based on what we are believing and sowing today. And that's why we need to plan. What do I want God to do in my future? It's a good question. What do I want? I know I can have all the promises. But what actually do I want? Lettuce, tomatoes? Do I want, you know, runner beans? What do I want? Do I want elm trees? Oak trees? Because effectively, you and I can make a choice and decide. We're co-workers with God. Do you know what I want? I want to have a lot of money. Now, don't misinterpret me. That's not to spend on me. I want a lot of money to change the world. I want to supply the needs of the poor. I want stacks of dosh that we can send out. Come on and see provision for the poor. Don't be selfish and just think of your own provision. Believe for the nations. Believe for the poor. That we will have such offerings here. We'll have more than enough to buy our building, do it up. It's still on the go, by the way. We're believing, aren't we? Do it up with excellence and provide for missions and the poor. You know, what we need to do stuff, new stuff in Morocco. We need to believe for increased provision. There are new things happening in Morocco for us. I think next weekend we'll pray for Tony and Cristiano going out for a recce on mission at the end of March. Is that funny? It is funny. God's laughing too. And we need to pray for a team from Mongolia. We are sending 7 people out to Mongolia on mission, children's ministry this year. So what do we need? gosh. The Reddies. So don't just believe for you. Believe that you get more than you need so you can sow generously. Yes, 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 yes. Let's not be small thinkers. You see, we need to believe beyond ourselves. God wants us believing for our communities to be blessed. He wants us believing for crime to go down, for violence to be reduced. We are not going to have people beaten up in Taunton. Violence will not be heard of in our land. Amen. It's a promise. And so we must sow the word to believe for our own situations, but it must broaden out into the whole world. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you, and I really mean you, may abound in hope, a future expectation of good things happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is the culture you're to live in. It's the internal environment you've been created for. Don't settle for less. Praise God. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.